You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson. And welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bible to the great book of Hebrews, chapter 5, verse 1, where we left off last time. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 1. You're invited, everybody in the world, to come here every Wednesday at 6 p.m. After we have the live SoundCloud taping, we have prayer meeting. First of all, we pray for America, and then I pray individually for everybody who comes. The Holy Spirit moves and the gifts of Holy Spirit, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the gift of discernment of spirits, prophecy, faith, healing, miracles, tongues, interpretation of tongues, healing and deliverance. So you better come. Okay, that's Wednesday, 6 p.m. And then on Sundays, you're invited to come here at 5 p.m. for the live radio, internet, and SoundCloud taping. I'm in Suntory, Florida. I'm right beside Scott Mercer's The Produce Place. The marvelous Mercer Produce Place is at the corner of Wickham Road and Panita Causeway. I'm right there, Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. Excuse me. And now Hebrews chapter 5, verse 1. From God's heart to my heart to your heart. You have a great high priest, Jesus. You have a great high priest, Jesus. What does a high priest do? A high priest loves you. A priest loves you. A priest prays for you to the Father, intercessory prayer for you. A priest teaches you God's word, so you'll be guided in the paths of righteousness and not fall off to the roaring lion, the devil. And a priest watches out for you. And all of that because he loves you. Now, in Bible times, before Jesus Christ came and paid our sin debt, God would appoint high priests. Their duty was to take an animal, a clean animal, kill the animal, and take the blood of that animal and take that animal into the Holy of Holies, where God was, and offer that blood as a sacrifice for the people's sin. But he had to do it again another time. But when Jesus came, God's only begotten Son, he shed his blood once and for all for everybody's sin. After Jesus arose from the dead, he went back to heaven, and he took his blood and put it on the mercy seat. It's there right now. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and that blood will never lose its power. That's not all. Jesus sits at the right hand of God, ever living to make intercession for you. Romans 8:34. He is your great high priest, and he is praying for you. Now, in the world, when somebody does you wrong, they messed up your money or whatever, the world says, get yourself a good lawyer and sue at the law. That's not what God's word says. Paul told us in Corinthians, do not sue the brother at the law. Well, what in the world do you do? Let us pray. But you pray to the Father, but guess what? You pray in your lawyer's name, in the name of Jesus, your lawyer. Jesus is counselor. A counselor is a lawyer. And Father says, son, Is that one of yours washed in the blood? Jesus says, yes, Father. So therefore, God will help you solve it far better than that lawyer who's going to charge you all of that money. Okay, now, before we begin reading verse 1 here in Hebrews 5, we have to read two other verses which are not there. They are in the Bible, but they're in the wrong place. You see, God's word is perfect, but man put in the verses and man put in the chapters. So we have to go back to Hebrews 4, and we have to study verses 15 and 16 again, because those two verses were supposed to be before verse 1 in Hebrews 5. So let's see what they say. This is the beginning about your great high priest who is Jesus. Verse 15, for we have not a priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was at all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So your great high priest sits there and he intercedes for you. And now we'll go to verse 1, which should have been verse 3 in Hebrews 5.
Verse 1. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men pertaining to God.
Okay, so God chooses priests and he chooses leaders in the church. Now, what are the leaders? You might want to make a note of this. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Here are the offices of what we might want to call priests or leaders in the church. It's called the fivefold ministry. It's apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. That's the fivefold ministry. An apostle is a sent one. God might say, I am sending you. And he might send you from one location to another location. He sent his only son from heaven's location to earth's location. So Jesus is an apostle, but people are apostles sent. Prophet. A prophet is an anointed speaker. A prophet has the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And the anointing means that Jesus paints himself on you, so when demons see you, they're afraid because they think that's Jesus. The speaker is, the prophet is anointed and speaks God's word in truth. The prophet also operates in many of the gifts of Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12, even the gift of prophecy. And remember, Jesus is prophet because Jesus said, lo, I have foretold you all things. The third is an evangelist. An evangelist's great passion is to tell the gospel that God sent his son, the son died, shed his blood, arose from the dead. Will you please be saved? Now, every Christian is called to win souls to Jesus. We'll talk about that later. But the evangelist has a greater grace on that. And so his main duty is, of course, to win souls to Jesus, but he's sent and he is certainly anointed. And then there's the pastor. The true name of the pastor is shepherd, because the word pastor comes from pasture, P-A-S-T-U-R-E. The shepherd feeds his sheep in the pasture. Now the pastor prays for the people, loves the people, and teaches the people. But of course, he's anointed by the Holy Spirit, and God has sent him to be a pastor. And he also gives the invitation, so he's a little bit of everything. He wins souls to Jesus, so he's also an evangelist. The teacher teaches God's word from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. But the teacher has the anointing of God's Holy Spirit. The teacher, of course, also is sent. So the pastor and the teacher, for the most part, are all of the above: apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. You say, well, that's great, Sherry, but where am I in this story? Oh, yes, you're in them. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. You are, every one of you, everybody saved, all lay Christians, as well as apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, you are called to be a minister of reconciliation. That is your leadership place in the church. Everybody say, I am a minister of reconciliation.
I am a minister of reconciliation.
See, God reconciled us back to himself through his son, Jesus. We were separated from him. But every Christian is to win souls to Jesus and witness to them and tell them the word of God and pray with them the prayer of salvation. Everybody you meet is your mission field. That girlfriend you're going to take to the prom, Max, that's your mission field. Olivia, your boyfriend. Laura, the next person you talk to, your cell phone. Angela, the next person who says, make me some cookies. Everybody, whoever it is, everybody. You are minister of reconciliation.
That he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin.
Now, how can the priest that God has called, God appoints these priests, we're going to call them all priests or under-shepherds. I'm going to use the word under-shepherd or priest for apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, or minister of reconciliation. So how does he do this? How does he do this? Well, he calls forth an assembly. He says, everybody in the body of Christ, come to church. The church means ecclesia, an assembly of the called out saints of God. Now, it's not necessarily a building, but you have to meet in a building so you won't get the rain or the storm or the cold or whatever. So he says, first of all, let us go to church. And remember, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says, this is a command, it's not a suggestion. Talking to everybody who's a member of the body of Christ, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, exhorting one another, especially as the day approaches. You really need to be in church now. Okay, you need to be there. So, what happens there? You go to church. Well, what do you do when you first go to church? Psalm 100. Enter into his presence with singing. Whoa! Some of you wait for the music to be over. No, 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 you missed church. Enter his presence with singing. You said, I thought we were supposed to enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. You are, but in Psalm 100, that comes afterward. When you get in the parking lot, you're supposed to be thankful you got a place to come to, and you come with a praise in your heart. So the first thing you do as a priest is we sing. Why is that important to God before anything else? Because the book of Psalms says, Jesus is the chief musician to him who has the victory, to him who gives the victory. Jesus is the conductor. So he says, everybody sing. He loves music. Well, how do you sing? How do you do the music? You may play the drum, as Olivia do. You may play the piano, as I do. You may play the keyboard, as Jeffrey does, or brass instruments, whatever, and you may sing. But here's a condition. Every musician not only must be saved, you must be sanctified, set apart for holy use, totally dedicated to God, and you must have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You must be anointed. The music is never a show in church. Whoever plays the melody, and usually the piano does, a melody's tune, you emphasize the melody, not making a show of it, so the people can hear the melody, melody's tune, so the people can sing. Well, what do you sing? You do not sing the rhythm of the world's music. Very sadly, 90% of all churches today don't know it, but they're playing the devil's music. They mean well. Remember in the world that then was, the first earth age, 2 Peter 3, 6, and 7, Isaiah 14, the devil Lucifer was a great musician. He played the tabouret. That's a tambourine. That's a drum. And Lucifer called himself a rock, but it was a fake rock. Lucifer called himself a star, but it was a fake star. The devil was the first rock star drummer. Now, rock music brings demons, especially hard rock. I was terrorized by people doing that. Demons were everywhere. Well, now, just like the Antichrist, who's the devil with his Jesus costume on, comes before Jesus, the Christians in half the world, half the Christians in all the world, will think he's Jesus because he looks like Jesus and has a Jesus costume on. The same thing has happened to the music. Okay, the rock music say it's a chant. It doesn't have any depth. They say, hey, baby, 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 yay, baby, 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 baby. Well, look at it. It's brought into the Christian church. Yay, Jesus, 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 Jesus. I deliberately made myself listen to a Christian music place there. I nearly went crazy. They never had a message. They just kept chanting and chanting. Jesus says, do not chant. Is it okay for it to be fast? Yes. Is it okay to have a rhythm? Yes. But the music must be of God. Okay, you're coming to his presence with singing. What do you do next? Okay, the next thing you do is the under-shepherd there gets up and leads the people in prayer. You're not taking personal prayer requests then. That comes on Wednesday night or later on. You are praying for the Holy Spirit to fall and for God's voice to be heard, and you're praising him. So we begin with thanking him and praising him. And then the next thing is you have the word of God by an anointed under shepherd. The letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life. They must be anointed, because without the anointing, there is no real thing accomplished them. And so they must be anointed, and he preaches the word of God, or she preaches the word of God, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. You say, where do you get that? From the Bible, our instruction book. Paul says, read this epistle in the church. You know his letters, epistle, letter, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, etc., Isaiah, Jeremiah, Hebrews, etc. Okay? And Isaiah says, line by line. So you have the word. Now what happens? Then the pastor or the under-shepherd becomes an evangelist. He has an altar call. Is there anyone in here who is not saved? Will you come up and accept Jesus? Now, you must come to the altar because you have to make a public confession of that. And when someone comes up, the evangelist pastor now also prays for them to confess their sins, to repent of their sins, and believe in Jesus. And the next thing, they should be water baptized. This is a command. It's your first step to obedience, to show that you believe that Jesus died, you go under the water, and arose from the dead. But then the under-shepherd prays for you to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The under-shepherd, the pastor, cannot give you that. Only the person can receive that. The person has to receive themselves, yield, and open themselves up to that. But that's not all. And the next thing in the church, the under shepherd there, you have a healing. Does anybody in here need healing? Now, on Wednesday night, I do this one by one. And James 5 says, if any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church. Elder means someone mature in God's word and anointed. Okay, that would be the pastor, the under shepherd there, hopefully. If they're not anointed, they shouldn't be there. And so he says, anoint with oil in the name of the Lord. I have a little vial here. It is olive oil. The olive oil has the two names of God, El, Elyon, and Yah, Yahweh. And it says, anoint with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. And if there be any sins, they be forgiven. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So then you do that. Okay, however, sometimes there's such a large crowd, it would be impossible for the under-shepherd to anoint each one with oil, although I do that on Wednesday night as long as I can stay alive. So that, okay, in that case, since the under-shepherd is anointed, for the oil represents the Holy Spirit, you may have people stand and then let the Holy Spirit call out these healings and so forth one by one, and that's acceptable. It's still best to anoint with oil and the laying on of hands. And still not all. And then there has to be deliverance from demons. Demons come in almost to every church because the devil loves to mess it up. And he's a religious fake, okay? And they come and piggyback on Christians. Now, a lot of times when the under-shepherd calls someone else to be healed, the under-shepherd knows they don't need healing, but they can't say, come up, demon, I'm going to cast you out. Because the demon thinks he sees Jesus painted on you, and he says he's going to run out the door, or he's going to make a noise, and he's going to get real quiet. So you have to say, come up, and I will pray for you to be healed, and then you cast him out. Now, that's how you do it. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, that's not all. One more thing. The under-shepherd calls for an entire church prayer meeting, and that is on Wednesday night. You are supposed to come to prayer meeting. It's your greatest work. You'll hear the word. You are supposed to come to prayer meeting. You're supposed to go to church. Charles Stanley, who's a very wonderful Christian man, Dr. Charles Stanley, said a person who does not go to church, who says they're Christian, is very selfish. And that also means Wednesday night. Because the people in church need you. I call a prayer meeting down here every Wednesday, and I need you to come and pray with me. God needs you. And prayer is the greatest power you have coupled with the word. You're supposed to be a prayer warrior, so you don't want to be selfish. You have need of the body, and the body has need of you. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as a man of some is. So there you have it. Now let's see what else we've got here about our great high priest.
Verse 2. That he may have compassion on the ignorant.
Uh-oh, don't throw any tomatoes at me. I didn't call you ignorant. Okay, the under-shepherd must have compassion on the ignorant. What does this mean? The word ignorant there means dullard. D-U-L-L-A-R-D. It's the same word in the Hebrew Old Testament as sottish. S-O-T-T-I-S-H. Sottish means stupid, and dullard means ignorant. But there are people, most of the people, the congregation, that doesn't mean you don't have a brain. It doesn't mean you can't learn. What this means in the original language is lazy of initiative. Oh, see, most Christians are not that few that come, whoo, I want God. Whoa, I want the baptism. Whoa, I want the gifts. Whoa, I want to speak in tongues. Whoa, I want to go in souls to Jesus. Watching the show, lukewarm, dullard, sottish, ignorant, stupid. That doesn't mean your brain is not there. You are supposed to be a go-getter. Now, the pastor says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. But you should come up and say, please pray for me that I would be filled with the Holy Spirit. Please pray for me that I open my mouth and speak in the language of Holy Spirit. The language of Holy Spirit is God talking to God through you. And then your prayers are answered for you. No doubt how to pray as you ought. And you would say, oh, please, please, Lord, let me win some soul. Let me win some soul. So be not ignorant. Be not a dullard. God can't stand lukewarm. He says, be cold or hot. But dullard, lazy to take initiative, I will spew you out of my mouth. You make me want to vomit. And the under-shepherd has to understand that about people. You take the initiative. God will do the rest.
And on them that are out of the way.
Christians weren't first called Christians at Antioch, but before that they called themselves the Way, because Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. The under-shepherd knows that people come to church for a while. Sometimes they'll come and say, boy, this is great. I'm going to be here every time the door opens. I'm coming on Sunday, I'm coming on Wednesday, and boy, this is great. And so they come one Sunday, one Wednesday. The next Sunday they come, the next Wednesday they're out. They stop coming on Wednesday at all. Uh-oh. They've taken a backsliding step because you're supposed to be in everything the church offers. You are the church. And they've taken a backsliding step there. And after a while, It takes 21 days to form a habit. One Sunday, one Wednesday gone, missing. Two Sundays, two Wednesdays missing. Three Sundays, three Wednesdays missing. Uh-oh, what happens? The next chapter, Hebrews 6, is going to tell you that you can walk back so much, you can backslide so much that you go to the point of no return. And what happens then? Your heart gets dull. You don't hear the Holy Spirit. You don't have the fire anymore.
Father, he himself also is compassed with infirmity.
The high priest in the Old Testament, before he could go in there and offer the blood sacrifice of animals for the people's sins to the Lord behind the veil of curtain there, the Holy of Holies, he would sin. So he had to take his own animal and take that blood for himself. For we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So before you pray at home, ministers of reconciliation for others, many of you are prayer warriors at home. You don't come to Wednesday, but you pray at home. Okay, some of you come on Wednesday and pray at home. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Before you pray, you must make sure your sins are forgiven. You can pray all day long, but if you've got sin on your slate, he won't hear you. Before I come out here early every morning, way early morning, I get up about 3 o'clock every morning, and then I do some things and pray and so forth and come out here to pray for you. I repent of all my sins, just in case. See, we got to keep our slate clean. Before I come out here, back there, I made sure I go back out there in that bathroom. I say, is there any wicked thing in me? Clean it out. Before you play the drums, Olivia, no sin. Before you read Proverbs, Max, no sin. Before I play the piano, no sin. Before you do anything, before you clean the church toilet, before you do this or do that, make sure your slate is clean. And then God will hear you, and you'll be a blessing. You'll be a vessel of honor in his hand.
Amen. Verse 3, and by reason hereof he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sin. Verse 4.
In other words, same thing there. You must make sure your slate is clean even before you pray for others.
And no man take this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God.
You do not call yourself to be an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, a pastor, a teacher. But everyone who is saved, 2 Corinthians 5:18, you are called, it says there, to be a minister of reconciliation. Many times denominations will appoint someone they think is very rich, a great speaker, good looking, and faithful to the church, and they'll say, we're going to ordain you to be a pastor. If God didn't call you, you can't do it. You have no idea what goes on. The one up there in the fivefold ministry has to have all antennas out at all times. That one has to know what the Holy Spirit's doing everywhere, all over the world, in the congregation, and in themselves. It's a high and holy calling. That's why people start out, they do good, they sound great, and then they crash. But when you're called, a lot of this started the first earth age, chosen from before the foundation of the world. You know it in your heart. You might not know the platform, but you know in your heart that God has called you.
As was Aaron.
Well, who is Aaron? Aaron is Moses' brother. Moses and Aaron were of the tribe of Levi, and the tribe of Levi is the priest line. God said, Moses, I want you to be my first human high priest. I want you to pray for the people. I want you to teach them the word. I want you to watch out for them. Moses said, I can't talk. I have a stutter. I can't speak. And he said, but my brother Aaron loves you, and he's a great speaker. Moses said, I tell you what, Father, would you tell me what to pray, how to pray? Would you teach me your word and what you want me to say? I'll tell Aaron, and he can be your first high priest. So God says, okay. So Moses' brother Aaron was our first high priest. Now, God kept that priest line going generation after generation, even down to the time just before Jesus was born, when Zechariah, the high priest in the book of Luke, was married to Elizabeth. The priest had to be married to someone also of the tribe of Levi. And of course, they had the Apostle John. And then the Lord Jesus also was born of the tribe of Levi. You say, wait a minute, he's of Judah, king line. Yep, he's that too. Mary and Elizabeth, Zachariah's wife of the tribe of Levi, were first cousins. So Mary's mother and Elizabeth's mother were sisters, and so they were the tribe of Levi. Jesus himself obeyed this law. He was of the tribe of Levi, your great high priest who ever lives to make intercession for you through his mother Mary, Mary's mother, but he was of the king line Judah by Mary's father Heli. He is king and he is priest.
Amen. Verse 5. So also Christ glorified not himself to remain a high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee.
God the Father said, Son, I'm ordaining you to be the high priest. You sit at my right hand, and people will pray in your name, and I will hear them. See, a lot of people say, Father, in Jesus' name, or you end your prayer in Jesus' name. No, no, no. That's the most important part. Father, in Jesus' name. And remember, when Father hears that, Son, is that one of yours washing your blood? You'll hear your prayer. So that's why you pray, Father, in Jesus' name. Don't drop it. Father, in Jesus' name. A lot of you pray and you say, da 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 da, in Jesus' name. No, God might be hard of hearing. You want a minute to hear in Jesus' name. Everybody say, in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Okay.
Verse 6. As he saith also in another place.
That would be Psalm 110, verse 4.
Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek.
He's talking about Jesus. You are a priest like Melchizedek. Well, who in the world is Melchizedek? You can find that out in Genesis chapter 14. Before Abraham was called Abraham, he was called Abram. And he had become a friend to God. And God said, Abram, before he was called Abraham, I'm going to give you a son Isaac, and in Isaac's son shall all nations of the earth be blessed. The Messiah is coming through him. But before Isaac was born, the enemy came upon Abram's nephew Lot and captured Lot. So Abram went after there and rescued Lot, killed the enemy, and took all of their spoils. Abram got the gold, and he got the silver, and he got the jewels. This is Genesis 14. On his way home, he met an amazing being. He met Melchizedek, the king of Salem, the priest of the Most High God. Salem in Hebrew is Shalom, the king of peace. Who is the priest of the Most High God? The Lord Jesus Christ. Melchi means king, and Zadok means elect. King of the elect, king of the just. Then in Genesis 14, Abram fell down and worshiped the king of Salem, the priest of the Most High God, Melchizedek. He fell down and worshiped him. Now, Abram had encounters one-on-one with the Most High God, so he would not have worshiped anyone but God. And then Abram paid his tithes, one-tenth of the wealth he had just procured to Melchizedek. He started the tithe. He paid his tithe to God. Malachi 3, bring all your tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, says God. You bring one-tenth of everything you have where God's presence is and where they are representing the word of God and where God's word is taught. So Melchizedek is a pre-incarnate Jesus. Before Jesus took himself a flesh and was called Emmanuel, God with us, our Savior, he visited Abram there, pre-incarnate. He is Melchizedek. Now, later on in Hebrews, we're going to find more about him. He always was, he is, he always will be. He doesn't have a father, doesn't have a mother. That is God. Melchizedek is your great high priest, Jesus. I pray you are blessed.
Amen.
At this time, let me introduce to you the owner of the Produce Place, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very good, Miss Sherry. That was awesome.
Awesome word.
Teaching, yeah.
David left his stuff in the car, and Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Romans 12:1.
Absolutely beautiful. Thank you, Scott. Great, Scott. Now, before I pray for healing, if anyone's not saved, I'm going to be an evangelist. Now, let's get you saved out there in cyberspace or in here. Let's pray this prayer and mean it, and God will save you right now. The most important decision you'll ever make. Are you saved for real? Church membership doesn't save you. Being good doesn't save you. Only the forgiveness of your sins by Jesus Christ saves you. Here we go. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I repent of all my sins.
I repent of all my sins.
I turn from them. I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Save my soul.
Save my soul.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Sanctify me through thy truth.
Sanctify me through thy truth.
Thy word is truth.
Thy word is truth.
Put me where you want me in the body of Christ.
Put me where you want me in the body of Christ.
And use me.
And use me.
To win many souls to Jesus.
To win many souls to Jesus.
Jesus is my Lord.
Jesus is my Lord.
Amen, amen. Now, for those of you in cyberspace, you need to tell someone. Romans says, with the mouth, confession is made to salvation. I invite you to tell me. In a little while, my announcer, Scott's going to give you my telephone number. Feel free to call that number. It's my voicemail. Speak clearly. Say your name. And when I get your confession, I'll pray for you and welcome to the family of God. You also may email me. My email is Sherry, S-H-A-R-I, Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, @gmail.com. Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, @gmail.com. G is for God. And now let me pray for those of you who are sick. Father, in the name and the power of Jesus, I come before you now, Father, to lift up to you anyone under the sound of my voice who is sick in their body. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you would intercede for me now with groanings which cannot be uttered, that I pray according to the Father's will. In the name and the power of Jesus, joints that are in hurting, stop hurting. Be healed in the name and the power of Jesus. Bowels, get in order in Jesus' mighty name. Hearts, be made whole in Jesus' mighty name. No too quick heart, no too slow heart. Just right in Jesus' name. Brains, come back and function in the name and the power of Jesus. And in the name and the power of Jesus, you who are addicted to meth, be healed, be delivered in Jesus' name. Alcohol, be delivered in Jesus' name. Pornography, be delivered in Jesus' name. In the mighty name of Jesus. Depression, go in the name of Jesus. From the top of your head to the sole, migraine headaches be gone. Backaches be gone. Toe aches be gone. In the name and the power of Jesus. Kidneys get in order. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. He says his word and healed you. With Jesus' stripes you are healed. He restores health to you and heals you of your wounds. With Jesus' stripes you are healed. Pick up your bed and walk. Faith is an act in Jesus' name. So now we all say, with Jesus' stripes, I am healed. With Jesus' stripes, I am healed. And now we can agree. I agree in Jesus' name. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is your second best friend, Sherry Medlock. Your best friend is your great high priest, Jesus. No greater loveth this than a man lay down his life for his friend. Now that's love. I love you too. I'm looking forward to the next time we get together as the family of God to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of
calling Christians to worship and the study of God's Word. This is Today's Modern Worship on WMIE FM 91.5.
Amazing grace that far outweighs my past mistakes. Your death became the death of shame. I'll praise you for amazing grace. Up from the grave, up from the grave, into the dark, you called my name and brought me back to life. Your promises, they all come true. God, we will fix our eyes on you, and we believe you're coming soon. Yes, we will fix our eyes on you. Your promises, they all come true. Oh, they all come true. Sing all praise, all praise. See, the old life is gone and the new has begun. It's your name always. Jesus, you don't deserve all praise. Oh, Jesus, you. joy unbound. I want the world to see that Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. You are my desire, Lord. You're my only need. Let the rivers rise up, let the mountains fall on me, and I will still praise you. I will still praise you.
Hey, this is Mark Ballmer from Lessons for Living. We hope that you're enjoying the radio program. This is a great radio station, 91.5. We pray that God will help you do life right.
I've been taking a long way home. Further from me to go. Am I giving you all I had? Oh, giving you all I had. Jesus, take me to that place where I first heard of your love and saving grace, your perfect word. For so long I've been distracted, and I acted like I knew all it took to be like you thought I knew. I've been taking a long much further from me to go. Am I giving you all I had? Oh, giving you all I had? I've been taking a long way home. Further from me to go. Am I giving you all I had? Oh, giving you all I had? Oh, giving you all I had.
You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Rockledge, Melbourne and the Beaches, and W272BA, Cocoa Beach and Vieira.
When you're going through a test, don't mistake the hand of man for the hand of God.
Dr. Tony Evans says it may be difficult to understand why hard times come.
But if you only see what people are doing and you miss what God is doing, then you miss the divine purpose of the detour.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of the Urban Alternative. No matter how it seems, our lives always go according to plan. The problem is, it's not our plan. Today, Dr. Evans takes us to Genesis chapter 39 as he talks about how to recognize God's agenda when it differs from ours. Let's join him.
Today, I want to look at the pattern of detours. Detours have a pattern about them that you should look for if you know you're not in the place that you had planned to be in. And there's not a person here today who is not in a detour, come from a detour, headed to a detour, because life is full of detours. The first aspect of a detour, which we've kind of introduced, is detours always involve tests. Detours involve a test. Let's define a test or a trial in the biblical terminology. A test or a trial is an adverse circumstance either created or allowed by God in order to develop us in preparation for His purpose for us. God already knows what's in your heart, but the test is designed to reveal it. Because see, our hearts are deceitful, the Bible says. They trick us, and so God wants you to really see what's deep down inside of you, and it comes out with a test. It's coming up on my annual physical review, and in my annual physical review, I'm going to have to take a stress test, which means the doctor's going to put me on a treadmill, and I've got to walk on that treadmill with all these attachments on my chest. He's not going to take my word that I think my heart's okay. He's not going to buy it because I feel like my heart's okay. He's going to ask me how I'm doing. How's my heart? I'm going to say my heart's fine. And he's going to say, prove it. Let's put you under some stress. So I'm going to get on the treadmill and I'm going to walk. And that treadmill's going to climb and incline and keep inclining until I'm huffing and puffing, until I'm sweating, perspiring, until I can't take it no more. Until I throw in the towel. Then he's going to look at his paper and he's going to tell me what my heart is. So a test is adverse circumstances. Joseph is in a test because he's now a slave in a situation he never planned to be in. And it is adverse. He's in a pit, no water, sold into slavery by his own family. And verse 1 of chapter 39 says he's taken to Egypt and Pharaoh, the captain, the bodyguard, buys him from the Ishmaelite. He's been